numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, and I look like I'm falling off the screen. You notice that?
You're fading away, Gil.
I should move over a little bit. If I go, what is it, this way? I'm almost out there. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, what's happening, y'all?
It's a good way to mess with Savannah today, though, if you just want to move an inch to the left every segment.
Yeah, yeah.
Or an inch to the right.
Yeah. It's Friday. You know what that means. Felica and Fezzik, hour number two. Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports. How many sports he'll have a bet on? There's no telling. Usually around three or four, sometimes five. We'll find out from Felica. Final four, of course, included in that. And Fezzik Fridays. Steve Fezzik with always a bunch on his mind. He's got things to complain about. He's got things to point out. Can't wait for that. Hour number two. Dr. Bob will join us as well. Oh, I have to text him a reminder that he has to come on. Let me do that right now.
Two weeks in a row.
Yeah. He said, send me a reminder or I'll walk my kids to school. That's how much he...
Would you like me to finish the coming up?
No. I'll do it right now. Hold on. Again. Reminder. I'm saying it right now on air. Reminder. Dr. Bob on the Final Four coming up here momentarily. Adam Burke, our managing editor at VSiN. All his thoughts, Final Four, baseball and beyond. And Dallin Cuff in moments from ESPN.
Yeah. Dallin Cuff on video this week, too. Because the past couple times we've had him, he's been in between, like... He'd be like, I'd love to join, but I'm going to be coming off a radio show, and then I got to get to a TV show, and then I got to go, like, probably play in some game.
The man is busy.
He's busy. He's a busy man.
Look at Sharp on ESPN. So he'll chime in on the Final Four and maybe some soccer as well. We'll get into that. And we have Are We Sure? Estamos Seguros coming up momentarily.
That's right.
The Friday edition of that. I just want to say this, though. Warriors beat the Lakers last night. Did you watch every second of it like I did?
Oh, I fell asleep early in the third quarter, Gil.
Well, you missed a few things. One, let me just say this. The Warriors beat the Lakers 123-116 in a game that the Lakers never got to one possession. Mm-hmm. They got as close as five. The Lakers were down six with the Rock in the last minute. And then Draymond Green stripped Luka on his way up for a shot. And this is why I bring this up, is for you, because you made the Lou Dort bets. Montesano made the Lou Dort bets. I was mad at myself for not making the Dort bets. Still may make it, but after last night, and Reggie Miller having a sexual experience watching us, it's like, okay, Rich, I got it. You think he should be the defensive player of the year. He's up to minus 345 now.
Whether you agree or disagree on whether he should be the defensive player of the year, the fact that one play and a reaction.
Well, it's not just the one play. It's because Draymond is also out there telling you, listen, this is my last shot at winning this. Give it to me.
I hear you, but he was doing that the past 2 days. Those odds remained the same until that game occurred last night. That happened, and now he's down to minus 340.
Minus 340. The aforementioned Dort is 7-1. Mobley in between, still at 4-1. Everybody else 50-1 or longer, including Shea, who's 150-1, which a case can be made for Shea too.
I think this is still way more up for grabs than those odds.
I would agree with you there. I'm just telling you that was Draymond center stage in a big game. And with that win, by the way, of course, the more important thing is that is a large win for the Golden State Warriors. Yeah. As the Warriors now, again, if the playoffs were to begin, it's still a Lakers-Warriors 4-5 with the Lakers having the home court because they are one game better in the loss column. But the Warriors are a 9-iron away from being the 3 seed as well. And they got the Nuggets tonight in a back-to-back. So that's a monster game tonight also. Nuggets 47-30 in the 3-hole, Lakers 46-30 in the 4-hole, Warriors 45-31 now in the 5-hole. By the way, the Grizzlies 45-32, as are the T-Wolves right behind that, and the Clippers 44-32. It's just a log jam.
It really is. But Gil, if you can get up to that 3 seed, any one of these teams that finishes in that 3 seed, and Houston, good on you for banking enough wins to get up to that 2 seed right now, and that you'll probably not finish worse than the 3 seed.
They'll be 2.
Yeah, right. They'll be two. But if you possibly get to avoid, I mean, think about what the Thunder path could be. And I've got Thunder Western Conference tickets. It could be Thunder versus, I'll say, the Clippers, because I've been building up the Clippers so much, right? It could be Clippers. It could be Warriors or Lakers before you even get to the Western Conference Finals. And I don't want, you know, I don't want to see either one of those teams right now.
I just want to leave that with this. The Warriors now, since acquiring Jimmy Butler, are 20-5 straight up. But with both Curry and Butler in the lineup, right, because those guys have taken games off, with Curry and Butler both in the lineup, do you know what the Warriors are?
I don't know. One loss?
19-2.
Two?
That's a record that should be getting the attention of everyone, including the Thunder. When Moses Moody starts, you know what the Warriors are this year? 24-4. Point that out as well. But 19-2 with Butler and Curry.
I'm still going to go back to if they're going to be a real thing, and by real I mean Western Conference Finals, NBA Finals, right? Because I think they're good enough to be there. It's Kuminga or Pajemski, like he was last night. They've got to be a consistent factor.
No question. No question about it. By the way, Luka, just has your opinion changed on a player quicker than it has on a guy like Luka? He just, first of all, he was 0-6, by the way, from behind the arc. Broke a 104, what is that? How many games in a row did he have a three? Was it 114 games in a row? I have to look that up. Don't hold me to that record, to that number. But 0-6 last night, and then that Draymond steal at the end. Okay, are we sure? Estamos seguros. Sports and sports betting edition. No intro.
No intro. I'm going to start with, I'm getting rid of my Draymond question. I'm going back to the rest of the NBA awards.
What was the Draymond question?
Are we sure Draymond Green will win Defensive Player of the Year? We kind of already discussed.
Well, no, I think it's not 100% sure, no.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right, well, last go through awards question real quick. Mark Daigneault, are we sure he's out of the Coach of the Year race?
No, because
he's 17-1, Gil. He's 17-1.
I saw 14-1 this morning. It's shortening as we speak. Six games left for the Thunder, and the one that they will have the shortest spread in is probably tonight at Houston. 6.5.
I still don't think it's a bad bet. If you wanted to get involved, because it does hit. We've said it since the beginning. You made the bet. I didn't make the bet. Drew brought it up at 200-1 a week and a half ago.
I was talking about it before, Drew, and wasn't smart enough to make the bet.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But it just hinges on them getting to 70. If they get to 70, I think he's winning it. So if you think they can win the rest of these games, I don't think it's a bad bet. Still, if you want to get involved.
Well, all right. And let me just say this, that the way that the schedule works out, because I've always said if they clear Cleveland, right, what's the phrase I use, the fly in the ointment, is if they clear Cleveland with the last two or three games still remaining to go, do they sit players and therefore not get to 70? But here's how the schedule works out. The meaningful games, the ones where they still have not clinched home court in a potential NBA Finals, is at Houston tonight, and then it's back-to-back against the Lakers. After that, when it might not matter, quote-unquote, anymore, it's Phoenix, Utah, and New Orleans.
Yeah.
So the way that the chronology of the schedule works out, so 70 may happen no matter what, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. College basketball Final Four this weekend. We're all pumped. Are we sure any of these four teams left can win the NCAA tournament?
Yeah. I mean, I think Duke will, but if you ran a simulation of this 100 times, all four are winning at some point. Sure. Any of these four can win. There's no doubt.
Are we sure Cooper Flagg should be a +110 favorite to win most outstanding player?
He should be the short shot for sure. Best player, best team. You're suggesting that it should be longer than that, that it shouldn't be +110?
Feels pretty dang short.
Yeah, I still say it's Cooper Flagg. Because if Cooper Flagg does anything, you know, equal, all things being equal, and Duke wins it all, they're not even sniffing anybody else. So it's going to be him.
Are we sure Alex Ovechkin will break Gretzky's regular season goal record this season?
Seguro que sí. We have seven games left for the Washington Capitals. Seven games left. He needs two to tie, three to break. Your question is, are we sure he's going to break?
Yeah.
By the way, they play the Blackhawks tonight, and the Blackhawks are terrible on D in terms of goal prevention. I am not 100% sure is that my answer to that, but he could do it tonight also.
Yeah.
Like he could, if he would do it with a hat trick tonight, that would be unbelievable. By the way, I don't know if you caught this, the local scuttlebutt in the DMV, Joe Beninanti and Craig Laughlin, who used to play for the Caps. Craig Laughlin, for those who are Caps historians, came over in the Rod Langway trade in the early 80s. Caps got to their first playoffs with Craig Laughlin. He does color for the Caps.
Who could forget?
This local broadcast team. And Joe, the play-by-play guy, has been their play-by-play guy since before Ovechkin even was there.
Wow.
Three of these remaining seven games, they don't have the broadcast for. They're putting him in a booth just for archival and social media purposes. But the NHL has gone all in on this Ovechkin thing. So every remaining Caps game, as long as this hasn't been broken yet, is going to either be on an ESPN channel, a Turner channel, or NHL Network. And so because of contract or whatever, three of the games won't be broadcast locally. And this, for like Caps fans, if it happens on one of those three nights, is a complete travesty. So they have to, NHL has to step in, Bettman has to step in, and just say, okay, let them have their local broadcast.
Yeah, it's always tough.
It's ridiculous.
NBA and NHL playoffs, I believe the NHL is the same way, right? You get into that same sort of thing where it's like the local guys have it up to a certain point.
These guys have called almost every one of his goals ever. You're not going to let him do these?
Yeah, it'd stop be a shame. It. All right, are we sure? Nobody in the NL West can catch the Dodgers, Gil, because I see a lot of good records in the NL West.
The Giants are 5-1 and in third.
5-1 and in third.
We're not 100% sure. No. As much as we love the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are great, we are not 100% sure. Because the Padres are really good, too.
All right, give me a percentage that the Dodgers win the NL West.
Oh, very small. Oh, that they win the NL West?
Yeah.
Oh, very, very high.
Over 98%?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Anything else? Or we're after the break.
All right, one quick one. Are we sure Aaron Rodgers will be a member of the Steelers next season? I've asked this question roughly four times, I think.
Yes, because I think you nailed it early, which is... he clearly wants to play for the Vikings, and he's like holding out any possible hope that they change their minds. Yeah, we're almost 100% sure. Now that's over 98% that he's ending up with the Steelers. We'll come back. Dallin Cuff on the Final Four next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put your skills to the test in the Hoops and Horses Pick'em Challenge brought to you by our friends at FirstBet. Sign up for free to play at VSiN.com/hoopsandhorses and make your picks for Saturday's marquee horse races and basketball matchups. Top pickers will receive FirstBet vouchers you can use to bet upcoming races on FirstBet, including the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, May the 3rd. From the hardwood to the homestretch, play now at VSiN.com/hoopsandhorses. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Chris Hartman, question for Crack yesterday. How does a man who carries a man bag full of items not travel with his own soap and toilet paper? Not an advantage play relying on hotel toiletries. I expected more. He said, ANG and the pot are two of the best hours of the week. Thank you both.
It's not a bad idea.
Thank you.
I mean, if you're settling in for a long, long casino day session, I'm just thinking back to some of my poker days, like those bags come in handy and you throw a lot of things in there. Those aren't bad suggestions.
Mook franchise. Hey, Gil, Love on the Spectrum dropped on Netflix. Season 3. I think you enjoyed the first two seasons. Amazing show. I love that show. Life affirming. Love on the Spectrum. Thank you for that. This is from, let's see. Oh, A-Rel. Are we really sure, Gil, that the Giants under 5.5 wins next season is going to happen? Winston and Russ are major upgrades from Malik Nabers. Defense isn't that bad. He said under 5. It's actually under 5.5. Yes, I'm sure. It's my favorite one. Seriously, go through that schedule. They're not winning 6.
Just therefore, hey, man, nobody loves Jameis Winston more than me, okay? And we're going under.
This is from, at KU Jayhawk Happy. He says, so, the NBA West team with the second best record is 150-1 to win it all. Make it make sense. Because they're young. They're young. The Rockets.
Okay, so this is a difficult conversation to have because I could go, yeah, Gil, but so are the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, but...
and it's just the star power of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the talent level of everybody I love is just one notch higher, and I don't trust the Rockets either. So.
Last one here, Bentley. I'm sorry. ANG is part of my morning routine, listening while I get ready for the day. Turned it on YouTube TV today, and Kelly is disappearing. I topped out at 4 bills before I changed things. Congrats on not having to move furniture to unplug things.
What does that mean? I mean, thank you. Thank you, though, Bentley.
I don't know about
appreciate
that last part.
Yeah, I don't understand the last sentence, but thank you, Bentley. I appreciate it.
I should probably edit. real quick, last two, are we sure, is before we get to Dallin.
Okay, are we sure?
Yes.
Shedeur Sanders will be selected in the first 4 picks.
You know, I'm not sure, and I'll tell you why. Like, I just randomly Googled the first mock draft today, and it came up Lance Zierlein at NFL.com. You know where he has Shedeur going?
Uh-oh.
24th on a trade. Cleveland trades up to get him.
I also believe I saw DraftKings repost a draft position for him at 7.5.
Yeah, man. I'm not sure at all about him anymore.
It's getting interesting. And then are we sure? Now I'm trying to remember my wording on this. Are we sure the Bills should be the most expensive over on win total bets out there at DraftKings? Because I'll clarify. Oh, there's several 11.5s. They are -145 to the over, which is the most expensive over of the 11.5.
You have no idea how long Kelly and I spent translating this to each other this morning. Okay. I am sure that among those teams, they should be the most expensive to go over 11.5. But getting to 12 with a first place schedule is always dicey. Let's be clear about that. Because let's give them 5-1 in the division, which is being generous.
But I don't think it is. I think 5-1 is accurate.
Okay, so let's give them 5-1. You still, your remaining home games, Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Eagles, Saints, Bucks.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So,
well, Saints will be easy.
But you gotta figure out a way to win 8 games between your division games and those home games. Where you're going to make your hay is on the other road games, because that's easy peasy. Falcons, Panthers, Browns, Steelers, Texans. So you go 4-1 on those. Anyway, you can cobble together 12. They should be an over on 11.5. They should be the highest favorite of those teams. But it's never easy with that schedule. Never easy. Let's talk some college hoops. Special numbers game investigation reveals that the Final Four begins tomorrow. Dallin Cuff from ESPN joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to navigate and give us his favorite bets on that. How you doing, Dallin?
I'm doing very well, guys. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you for making time in between your busy schedule of TV and radio hits. We always appreciate it. Let's do these chronologically tomorrow, beginning with the appetizer. This between, of course, Florida and Auburn. Do I have that right? Yeah, all of a sudden I'm going nuts on it. Florida and Auburn. Florida, a 2.5-point favorite at the Alamo Dome tomorrow. Total 159.5. Your thoughts on this, sir?
I think there's value in Auburn, honestly. You got a Florida team that I know is playing. I don't know if they've topped out in terms of how they're playing, but I do think the narrative about Auburn and their struggles is a little overplayed. I mean, they did cover the last 3 games. Now, I know against Michigan, they were down 9 with 10 minutes to go. They dominated the last 10 minutes and covered. They barely covered against Michigan State, but they were up. We were outside the number the entire game, essentially, until the last couple of possessions. So, and this Auburn team is, they still can play at a higher level. We know that. I think Florida can as well. But I think they will learn from the loss they suffered in the jungle. They will defend better. They were terrible in that game, and they lost by 9 handily. They did not keep Florida out of the paint. Florida was able to get shots in the paint. They were spraying for threes. They got played in transition. They did not play well. And Florida played without Elijah Morton. So I realize I'm giving you all the reasons why Florida should probably come for this game. I think this is closer to a coin flip. You're going to give me 2.5 points. I'll take 2.5 points. I think Auburn can undoubtedly win this game, assuming Jahni Broome is at 100%.
And Jahni Broome says no limitations. He says we're to take him at his word. I would guess.
I think we kind of have to. I think that's kind of the deal right now. Yep. You got to believe that this guy, if his arm falls off, then he's not playing. But other than that, I think the guy's in the mix. And if he's able to go in 100%, then I think that's the case. He'll say whatever. We'll see it in the first few minutes, how he's playing. And granted, he did come back into that game against Michigan State, which does bode well as well.
Yeah. After saying, apparently, according to reports, I'm done here. And he did show up Willis Reed style and then hits that three.
You can see him on the sideline. You can read his blips. He said, I'm done. I was like, oh, my. I was watching that game in a brewery on a huge TV. And I was like, oh, my God, this guy's done. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And he was back a few minutes later.
Yeah. Well, he says no limitations. So he's a go. Florida, 2.5-point favorites again. In the early game, and by early I mean what is that, 3:09 p.m. Pacific start time, 6:09 Eastern. Houston, Duke, the nightcap. Duke favored by 5 here. Duke, the short shot to win it all. Do you see it that way? And what would you do with the spread here? Total 137 against Houston.
Same thing. I'm on the dogs here, and I like Houston in the number. I know it's moved, and the money's coming in on Duke, or it's gone from 4.5 to 5.5. But I think this is a situation where Houston is more than capable of winning this game, and the level of physicality and how hard they're going to make it for them to run things through their pick and roll. I'm very interested to see how, whether it's Cooper Flagg, Konka Nipple, Tyrese Proctor, because you know this is going to happen. They're going to blitz the ball screen. And they need to keep it in the middle floor. You don't want to play out of the side. But sometimes they're very effective at clearing out the side and playing a two-man game on the side and having, you know, making hay, the Blue Devils are. So, but this is really hard to do against Houston. when they blitz that ball screen, are they all able to play out of it? Are they able to hit the short roll man? Are they able to get it reversed and get that ball playing on the side and you play in an advantage situation? I'm very interested to see how that they handle that. At times, too, I wonder if John Shire wants to post Cooper Flag and make them double because they're going to double big to big and believe that he can play out of it and through it and then create advantage situations on the opposite side of the floor. So I think it's a great chess match. I think this is a Houston team that they can shoot it more than teams of the past. That's my question is not, will they be able to slow down Duke offensively as gifted as Duke is offensively? It really is, are they going to be able to score enough? Because Duke's defense is elite, and they have positional size at every position. And that poses a lot of problems. And they can switch a lot of screening action, keep the ball in front of them, and make you take contested shots. And although Houston can make some contested shots, that's not exactly where they want to live, is taking contested threes. They're very good in three-point line, but they don't take a ton of attempts per game. They're like bottom 100 in the nation in three-point attempts per field goal attempt. So I think this situation where you have value, though, in the 5.5 points, I'm going to take the 5.5 points. I think Houston can win the game. I think this is a 1 or 2 possession game, and Duke is finally tested at a level we haven't seen since Clemson beat him in February.
Talking to Dallin Cuff from ESPN. Dallin, I leave you with this, and I won't put you in a bad position and ask you to rank all four of these coaches, but I'll just ask, in a crunch time situation, talking all four here, Golden, Pearl, Shire, Sampson, in a crunch time situation, in a tight game, of those four coaches, who is the guy you trust the most to figure it out, to do something to give his team that edge that is necessary to put them over the top?
Wow, that is a tough question, because no matter what, guys, we are leaving this Final Four with a new head coach to win a championship, first-time head coach winning a championship, at least. I think Golden will do things out of the box late. We saw that in Texas Tech. He's done it since USF. He will follow ahead of time. He will make the right decisions, and I credit him. I credit Shire. I think Bruce Pearl motivates his guys in a different way. I'm going to lean toward the old head here in Kelvin Sampson, and the reason for that is there is a culture about which Houston plays with that when the chips are down and they are struggling, these dudes lean into what they are and who they are. And at the base level, they are junkyard dogs that will compete for 40 minutes. And every coach you talk to that plays them, it just feels and looks different. So late game, when you're trying to draw something up, sometimes those dudes just find a way to make a play. So the question is, yes, so I trust Kelvin Sampson, but it's the culture that he's built that I'm leaning into, that those guys sometimes, somehow, just find a way. And that's where I'm going to go.
All right. Appreciate it. Dallin, thank you so much for the time. We'll be watching you this weekend.
Thanks, boy.
Dallin Cuff, everybody.
Appreciate you. Be well.
At Dallin Cuff, DalenCuff on the old Twitter machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it when he wears those light suits.
Yeah. Always looking sharp on ESPN.
It's a good look.
And we appreciate him joining us all season long.
Yeah, man. For sure. Adam Burke, we appreciate him joining us as well. That's a busy man, too. Our recent managing editor. Next, baseball. College hoops next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards. 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game, the fine show you're taking in right now.
You know, I was just about to say you've been mailing that in, but you just came through. Well done. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. I don't know if you ever met Kelly Bidlin before. He's shrinking before our eyes.
What I used to do is make up different things for what the ANG stands for, but
yeah,
that
that's what I mean.
That gets dangerous sometimes. Who knows what's going to come out of my mouth?
Let's see. We get tweets at Beat the Book. Joe C714. Couldn't listen to you guys all week because I was in Maine for work all week. Messed up my morning routine, and it was cold. Are we allowed to say cold A? No?
Yeah, cold AF? Yeah.
Okay, there you go. He was in Maine complaining. Maine is beautiful, by the way.
What gorgeous building am I looking at?
Have you ever been to Maine in the summertime?
Does it say armory?
What does that say? Oh, Kelly's literally walking up to the... look at this guy. Look at this guy. Okay, his big hand, his face getting in the camera. Oh, man, we've got a little too comfortable here. Joe C., by the way, Maine in the summertime, gorgeous.
I went to Bar Harbor once.
Bar Harbor,
one of the greatest weekends of my life.
Have the lobster.
Blueberry beer, blueberry pie, lobster nonstop, and just do it all over again for like 3 straight days was amazing.
A. Brown down in Jungleland says, on behalf of all those who tail Drew on Dagnall 200-1, coach of the year, can we just stop talking about it altogether? Your daily mention of the odds dropping has us dreaming when in the end, we'll all be fighting Kelly for a teddy bear at the CLV store.
That's right.
Can I get that teddy bear right there?
I'm looking for one of those snap bracelets this time around.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I got my eyes set on.
Maybe those fluffy dice I can get right now. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a part of the glue that holds this operation together. His name is Adam Burke. He is a baseball savant. You can tell me no different. The greatest baseball previews I've ever read in my life back at Bang the Book back in the day. He's our recent managing editor. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Skating Tripods. A classic Twitter handle for Adam. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. Portland, Maine. There's a bar called Mash Tun. They have a great beer list. My wife loved the bourbon sangria. It's down on Wharf Street. Really, really great spot. I loved Maine. It was awesome when we went there.
It's gorgeous.
Did you just say bourbon sangria? That sounds fantastic.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm going to look into that.
The problem is Adam is going to look into it now while we're doing this. All right, baseball season. What do you like today, sir?
Still working my way through the card here, but I guess I could throw you guys one that I do like. I like the first five over 4.5 in this matchup between the Nationals and the Diamondbacks. Jake Irvin is a guy that doesn't miss a whole lot of bats. The Diamondbacks are swinging it really, really well to start the season, as you would expect. I mean, last year they led the league in runs scored, and I don't think this offense got any worse. I mean, they basically just replaced Christian Walker with Josh Naylor, who's a pretty good hitter in his own right. So I think they're going to get some run scoring opportunities against Irvin. And then Brandon Pfaadt, you know, while he's really good at missing bats, the command can be kind of hit or miss, gave up a lot of hard hit contact in his first start against the Cubs. Lefties hit him really well. He's got an issue with the platoon split. Nationals should be able to throw six lefties at him today. So I like over 4.5 in that Diamondbacks and Nationals game.
And we were talking, you and I, about this a little bit off air. This is not an official play from you, but you are of the mind that if the Dodgers do trip up here in the month of April, for God's sakes, it's April 4th. But if they do, it is most likely the first time to trip up, let's say. It's most likely to occur this weekend at some point.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they could lose tonight, to be honest with you. Jesus Luzardo added a sweeper this year, and it's a really, really nasty pitch. And he's got a tremendous arsenal to begin with. He's just a guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy. The one thing that's concerning is, you know, Yoshinobu Yamamoto has thrown the ball really well in his first two starts, but he is stepping up here from facing the Tigers last time out to facing the Phillies this time out. Also, long way from home, first road trip in the U.S. Of course, they played a couple of games in Tokyo to start the year. I think that the Phillies here, you know, are a decent look for tonight. I was kind of hoping to get a little bit more on the price, but it is one that I may add to my card here throughout the day. But I understand why this line has moved toward Philadelphia. I mean, and also, look, this may very well be an NLCS preview in this weekend series.
Yeah. Joe Pita's picks are coming up, by the way, after a 2-day hiatus on the show. Joe Pita's picks are coming up. And he points out, though, that the Freeman loss, right, Freeman being out of the lineup against the lefty tonight, not as big of a deal for the Dodgers as it might be against Nola and Sanchez, two righties this weekend as well. So that's a point we should probably make about the Dodgers-Philly series. Dodgers 8-0, two away from being the betting casher in the race to 10, with a 2-0 head start, remember, earlier before the rest of the league began. To the final four, sir, your plays in either game are what?
Well, I got to say one thing real quickly on today's MLB card. If you're looking through the card and you see Luis Castillo's name next to the Mariners, that is not the Luis Castillo. That is Luis F. Castillo. That is not the guy who's been a 8-year major league vet now. Different guy, same name. So if you're out there looking at the Mariners and you see them as a big underdog today against the Giants and Justin Verlander, just keep in mind that's not the right Luis Castillo, because that's something that I think could definitely trip people up here today, seeing that big of a dog price against the Giants. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
That is excellent.
Excellent PSA.
Actionable or unactionable, whichever way you choose to play it, betting information. That's good. That, by the way, big cruel joke by the Mariners to do that.
Yes. Yeah, and a pitching change actually too. Bryce Miller was supposed to go today, so they're sending out, like I said, the other Luis Castillo. As far as the Final Four goes, I mean, look, you know, the Auburn-Florida game is a little bit perplexing because statistically these two teams are remarkably similar, right? They're only separated by 0.4% in three-point percentage, about 0.5% in two-point percentage. They're both top 10 teams in effective field goal percentage defense. They have identical three-point percentages against. Statistically, they line up very, very similarly. The difference is Florida's playing at a really high level, and Auburn hasn't really been playing at the same level here of late. So I do think that Florida absolutely deserves to be favored in this game. I don't know what you're going to get out of Bruce Pearl's team. I have a pretty good idea of what I'm going to get out of Todd Golden's team. I think because of how similar these two teams are, and even their shot selection is pretty similar too, I kind of lean slightly towards Auburn getting points just because I think this is a super close game. But to me, this is one where you take the Auburn money line and you don't even worry about the 2.5 if that's the side you want to go with, because I think Auburn wins the game or the spread doesn't come into play at all.
What about game two?
So in game two, I mean, maybe this is a little bit square. Maybe this is a little bit, you know, kind of basic thinking. But I mean, I like Duke. I mean, you know, Houston is a team that really the only thing they can do on offense is shoot the three. And if they don't shoot the three well in this big venue like the Alamo Dome, they're going to get they have the chance to get run off the floor in this game because Duke is so good offensively in so many different areas. And they're almost as good defensively as Houston is. So I just, you know, the Cougars, when they face elite competition, because they have no semblance of a half court offense for the most part, they really, really struggle. And I think Duke has the opportunity to really exploit that here. Duke has tremendous size. Obviously, they can get to the basket. They can shoot it from deep. Houston can only shoot it from deep. And if they don't do that, they're going to struggle. So I think Duke is the side there, despite the fact that you're laying five in a game where statistically there's not a whole lot of gap between the two teams.
So last segment, I asked Dallin Cuff from ESPN to give me the coach that he trusts the most of the remaining four coaches, Golden, Pearl, Shire, and Sampson. Who's the one that he trusts the most to make a plus EV decision, basically, that will be just enough of an edge, to give his team just enough of an edge to perhaps put them over the top. He came up with Kelvin Sampson. He did concede Golden might have the most analytical viewpoint, but he went with Sampson. I didn't want to get him in trouble because he often has to interact with these coaches. You, I don't have the same burden here. Tell me the coach of the four that you trust the least, that in a crunch time situation, you're like, oh, no, not this dude.
I mean, the least, it has to be Bruce Pearl, right? I mean, you know, he's had some great teams in the past that he really hasn't been able to get over the hump. And, you know, I mean, I also think that, you know, with Auburn, you know, with a guy that, you know, could be a little bit of a loose cannon in Baker Mazzara, like, does he do something stupid in this game at some point? Can Florida bait him into something? You know, will Pearl have the wherewithal to, you know, kind of calm him down, keep him sort of squared away in this game? I don't know. But Pearl is a guy that I think of the four that are left here, I would trust the least.
All right, Adam, the Cleveland Guardians tied for first in the AL Central at 2-4. I mean,
yeah,
that's the way to spin it, I guess, at this point. Any remarks you want to make? We're obviously oppo on this. We'll be tracking it all year. But any takeaways from six games?
Well, I got a takeaway. Petco Park is gorgeous. I went there on Wednesday. Nice. It was my wife's birthday. There was a day game, so quick 28-hour trip to San Diego. And, you know, I mean, the park was fantastic. The game wasn't, but the park was great. And, you know, really, really cool atmosphere, a lot of craft beer. That was great. But the only other thing that I could really mention is watching Kyle Manzardo at first base. It's like watching a baby giraffe try to walk. He is really bad over there. So that's something that could kind of inhibit them, you know, when David Fry is able to come back. But honestly, the bottom of the order is terrible. I mean, they have no depth in that lineup whatsoever. And that's something that they're going to have to address as the season goes along.
Right. I thought they were getting a defensive upgrade at first without Naylor, but we shall see as the season progresses. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it, man.
Have a good one, guys.
You too. Adam Burke at Skating Tripods, VSiN Managing Editor. Always love having him on the show. Dr. Bob, we hope, on the other side. Final Four next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Horse racing fans, get ready. VSiN at the track, the road to the Kentucky Derby is live today and every Friday, leading up to the Triple Crown. With key Derby prep races this weekend, we're breaking down the top contenders for this year's Run for the Roses. Join experts Mike Somich and Aaron Halterman today at 2:10 p.m. Eastern on the VSiN YouTube channel at VSiN Live for expert analysis and insights. Don't miss it. VSiN at the track, streaming live 2:10 p.m. Eastern as we count down to the Triple Crown. Shall I run Burgundy through some tweets?
Sure, Gil.
Oh, I know how much you love that. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. This is from Martel J. Profit X plug incoming. Oh, he likes Profit X. What do you got? Not only do they have the tightest baseball money line spreads, he says, they also have White Lotus Exotics. Come on. He says, I got Belinda to die plus 450, move to plus 250. Hashtag movie markets. Come on. Profit X has that.
Is it too late in the season for me to be like, whoa, spoiler alerts here. I don't even know who the character is.
Oh, that's fantastic that they have White Lotus Exotics at Profit X.
Have we, I know we've talked about it, but have you dabbled with Kalshi at all? Because see that just got legalized in all 50 states?
Which I didn't see the latest.
Would include one Nevada.
Yes, it would. Let me check my list of states. Yes, Nevada is on there. Well done. Mike Rouse, odds that Fezzik later references a movie today, minus 450.
Oh.
Odds on a Val Kilmer movie, plus 110. I don't know if Fezzik does Val Kilmer, because Fezzik's references are like...
The Big Lebowski's like minus 175 alone.
That's right. I don't know, was he a Top Gun guy? Do you remember when producer number 7, Jason...
That's Gunn? Dave Ross. Dave Ross works a Top Gun reference in every week.
My favorite Jason Kahn producer number 7 moment. Was he producer? Yeah, producer 7. When the new Top Gun, the latest Top Gun, Maverick, came out, I was like, I haven't been to a movie theater in like years. And he goes, you're not going to go see Top Gun Maverick, Gil? I'm like, no. And he goes, really? He was so incredulous that I wasn't going to go see that. Logic 3227. Yo, I went to Bar Harbor, Maine, in the summer about 10 years ago. It was one of the best weeks of my life.
Yes.
Of course, only I would get into an argument with a complete stranger who was a Pats fan on a whale watching trip. Yeah, you probably should.
That's awesome. I feel like that's what you do on vacation in Bar Harbor, Maine.
What do you mean you don't like the Pats?
Lobster, blueberry pie.
Lobster.
Getting fights on whale watching boats.
Cowboys_Cubs1. Yo, hey, man. Country Club and K. Michael Bidlin never mails it in on Fridays. When he does... show up on Fridays. Let's go, Cubbies. Sorry, Jason, if that is your real name. Talking about Spreadopedia.
Bam!
Hashtag SoCal bias. I don't know. That's unprovoked shot at Jason.
Yeah, right there. And me, I guess.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is a pioneer in the industry, and he works harder than any human being I've seen ever in this industry. We used to go to, not only did we live close to each other when we were in San Francisco together, but I got to witness how hard he worked just in person. But also, when we would go to like the MIT Sloan Sports Conference, everybody would be out hobnobbing, networking, and Bob would be like, I got to go to my hotel room and handicap 130 college basketball games. See you later. Wouldn't see him till the next day. It's Dr. Bob, ladies and gentlemen, at Dr. Bob Sports, at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. I'm glad I could make it this week. Sorry about last week.
That's all right. You know, I don't want to take you away from taking your kids to school, man. I don't want to be that guy.
I want you to be that guy.
that's not good, Bob. It's not Father of the Year material right there.
Kids would love a sick day on Friday. Long weekend.
I assume their mom would take them to school in your absence. Is that what I would hope?
She would. Okay. She would. But I could say Uncle Gil says you can stay home today.
don't do that. What do you do, by the way? Now that so after this, right? So college football is not for months away. What do you do once this finishes now?
Take some trips with the family. Try to help my wife clean the kitchen. Play a little tennis, maybe a little golf.
I like
it. Stay a little active. I try to lose about... I go from about 220 to 210, and then I gain that weight back during football season when I'm sitting on my ass for 100-plus hours a week.
All right. Okay. Well, let's try not to go potty mouth, but I hear you. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. It's okay.
It was okay.
You were just okay. Trending that way. So I just didn't want to.
I feel like clean the kitchen was brought up very specifically.
Maybe she's upset that. So, I just want to, the last question before we get to your final four thoughts here is, do you, now that the transfer portal exists, does this complicate your life in a way that you have to start college football and college basketball, for that matter, prep earlier, or does it make it moot and you start later now?
No, I have to start earlier. It used to take me about an hour and a half, maybe to hour and a half to 2 hours to do every Division I college football team. Now it's more like 2.5 to 3.5 hours, just because I've got to sort through all the transfers and I've had to incorporate. It's not as easy as it used to be. I mean, I have to incorporate talent ratings, and then look how they did their previous school. If they did have performance at their previous school, if they did get in some games, I have to transfer that to how they might do in the current system they're in. et cetera. It's just, and coaches are moving around a little bit more than they used to. So where'd that coach come from? How did he do in his last, you know, his last stint? Did he improve the offense or improve the defense? Were they better, worse, et cetera? So it's just a lot more factors now than there ever was. It just takes me longer to do each team. So starting earlier is what I need to do now.
Okay. Let's go to the final.
And I think it's actually helpful because I think I'm better at making those adjustments than the market's been. And my season win totals have done well over the years, as you know, and they have done well in recent years too.
Yeah. I would actually corroborate that. I think your ability to evaluate, you know, the absence of a player and the inclusion of a player just becomes that much more on steroids now to me, it would seem.
Yeah.
Let alone in-season injury adjustments. All right. Florida Auburn. Florida favored by 2.5, 159. First of the two national semifinals. Your thoughts on this one?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously it depends on Jahni Broome, right? I mean, if he's 100%, then I would be betting on Auburn here getting 2.5. I don't think if he were 100%, the line would be 2.5. I think it'd be 1.5 or maybe 2. My ratings favor Florida by 0.6 points if Broome was 100%. Now, he's not 100%. He's got an ankle injury, a knee injury, an elbow injury. How much that hurts his level of play is a guess. If they're one bucket worse, if his injuries cause them one bucket, that's 2 points right there. That gets you to 2.5 from my 0.6. My guess is that it's 1 to 1.5 points. He could be fine. He could play his normal game. And if so, I think Auburn would be a good bet in that case. Hard to know. I think 1 to 1.5 points would be about the adjustment I'd make. And so that gets me Florida by 1.5 to 2. Not enough value to be playing the game. And there's a lot of uncertainty. You could say, well, you know, maybe it's a money line play. If Auburn, if he's good to go and he's 100%, then Auburn might be a play on the money line because there's more variance in a situation like this. And if there's more variance, then the money line underdog play becomes a better value play than the spread. Because if he's not on his game and he's really struggling, then plus 2.5 doesn't matter. They're going to lose by 7 or 8 maybe. So I would probably rather have Auburn here. I'm not betting the game. Don't recommend betting it necessarily. But if you are going to bet Auburn, I'd consider the money line just because of the variance involved in Broome's injury.
I like it. Plus 130 is what we're showing. Always shop around. And then Duke, 5-point favorites over Houston, total 137.
Yeah, I do have a play here. I took Houston plus 5, and I lean with the under. It's 136.5 or so. My ratings have consistently been on Duke in the tournament, and I've had them as bets a few times. But not in this case. I mean, Houston, I think the blowout of Alabama has enhanced the line a little bit, which is great because I was on Duke and that game as the best bet. So I was happy for that. But I think now the line's gotten a little bit out of hand. Houston's the number one rated defense in the nation in points per possession allowed, adjusted for opposing offenses faced. I think they're capable of slowing down Duke. Duke's got the number one rated offense in the nation. But they've only played 3 games all season against top 20 rated defenses. They have not faced many good defenses. And in those 3 games against top 20 defenses, those being Kansas, Clemson, and Auburn, they lost 2 of those 3 straight up. And they lost to Kansas and Clemson. They beat Auburn by 6. So they haven't really done well against the 3, and they dominated bad defensive teams. So maybe their great offensive rating is skewed a little bit toward you know, doing well against bad defensive teams. But they've lost 2 of the 3 against the top 20 defenses they faced. Now Houston's had a few losses against elite offensive teams too. So it's not like they're immune to losing to elite teams. I mean, they lost to Auburn, Alabama, and they split a couple games with Texas Tech, who are all top 10 offensive rated teams, but they've also won 5 games against top 10 rated offensive teams. And all 3 of their losses were by 5 points or less. So they've been able to hang in these games against elite offensive teams. And I think the key to this game is the 3-point shooting. Duke has an elite 2-point defense, one of the best in the nation. I think they're second in 2-point defense allowed. But they are susceptible to 3-point shooting, though. They have they've got a good 3-point defense overall, 30.8% season, but they've given up 24% to the 10 worst in average teams they faced and 33.2% to the other 28 games they face. So they are susceptible to some good 3-point shooting teams. So I think the matchup's good. It's a Houston plus 5. I make it 3, and I lean toward the under.
Thank you, Bob. Chris Velika next.